You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, April 6th, 2020, and I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. I hope you are safe today. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or something else, and leave the show a good review. The NFL draft is now a few weeks away, and that is mainly the focus of the offseason now. Even though there are still some players available out there in free agency, players will continue to be signed over the next few weeks and even months. But most of the focus now turns to the NFL draft because the vast majority of players who are going to help teams in free agency are now off the board, and the draft is the final major path teams have to improve their roster in the year 2020. And then once we get past the draft, that's kind of the quiet period in the NFL offseason. And on today's show, I'm going to offer some thoughts for how I think the Jets should approach the NFL draft this year. It is Joe Douglas's first draft as general manager. Of course, he was hired last year after the NFL draft, after the entire offseason. And he's got a challenge in front of him because he's inheriting a team that has not made the postseason in 9 years and a team that really just did not have a very good roster. And I think he's begun to try and fix that in free agency. But the draft is going to be the key area that will determine whether Joe Douglas has a successful tenure as general manager of the New York Jets. So on today's show, I'm going to offer him a few pieces of advice. Not that he's coming to me for any sort of advice, but this is the way I think he should approach it. And based on the way he's handled his job in the early stages, this is my guess as to how he will approach it. And first thing I would say to Joe Douglas is, and I think he understands this, is you can't act like you can fix everything in 1 year. And that's the mistake people frequently make when it comes to the NFL draft, is that they think that they're going to be able to eliminate all the holes on their roster. It just doesn't work that way. And in the draft, you have to think long term. You cannot think immediately. Now, yes, the players you draft in the early stages, you would like to think that, especially the guys rounds one, round two, that who you pick, you would like to think that they're going to be able to help your team out in the short run. And yes, it is plausible that maybe you can fix some of your problems, but very few teams can fix all of their problems in the draft, and that goes double for a team like the Jets, which really needs help in most of the key areas when they're building their team. And I see all of these people put out mock drafts and they say, well, you should take a wide receiver round one, a corner round two, but you got to get an edge rusher too. And you need to consider that the draft is a long-term proposition. And I before I started recording the show, I went through the third round picks last year because people talk in the third round like you're going to get a starting corner. And yes, ideally, the players you draft in the third round will eventually become starters for you. But that does not necessarily mean that they are going to be starters year one. In fact, it's very rare that you find a starter year one as late as the third round of the draft. I looked at the 2019 third round, and of those players who were drafted, I had 38 third round picks last year. I counted 11 who played half their team's snaps as a rookie, and 38 because there were some compensatory picks that were added on, and one team lost its pick because it used a third round pick in the supplemental draft in 2018. That was the Giants. But think about that. I counted 11. I mean, you know, maybe I counted by hand, so maybe I got it wrong. Maybe it's 12, maybe it's 10, but that's less than one out of three. And that's just guys who are playing half the snaps. And a lot of starters, if you're an impact player, you're probably playing more than half the snaps. And not only that, but just playing doesn't make you good. You know, among those 11 was Mason Rudolph with the Steelers, who wasn't that good, or Michael Dieter with the Dolphins, who was part of a really bad offensive line. So the players who actually contribute in a positive way are even fewer. It's, you know, everybody would love a Terry McLaurin with Washington, go out and have a productive rookie year. In the third rounds, you're looking for long-term value. You're looking for players who are going to be good players year two, year three, year four, and beyond for your team. If you get a player who produces year one, you're lucky. It can't be, I don't think it can be part of the equation, because if you could count on a player to produce year one, he'd probably be a first round pick. The guys who go in round three generally are players with more flaws in their games, players who need more development. So you cannot go to the draft thinking we're going to fix all of our problems because we're going to use picks in round three and beyond. And that goes, this gets even, it becomes even more pronounced once you get later into the draft, because round four, the odds of getting a day one contributor are less than they were in round three. Round five is less than round four. Really, I think your first round pick you are hoping will be a contributor year one in most cases. Even then, in some cases, he's not. Round two, you might have a shot, but once you get to round three, it's all about thinking long term. So the Jets may enter the NFL draft with holes that they need to fill, but it's just not, it's not really plausible to suggest that they're going to be able to fill all of their holes. So you can't go in saying, well, they'll need to take a corner in round three because they have a problem at corner. Well, they'll still probably have a corner. They'll still probably have a corner, a problem at corner in round after drafting somebody in round three, because the guy they pick in the third round is probably not going to be able to step in year one. Now, if they do pick a corner in round three, you certainly hope he'll be able to help you out in 2021. But if you get anything out of a third round pick as a rookie, it's a bonus. It's not something that can be counted on. So with that in mind, you should just disregard your immediate needs once you get deep into the draft. It's all about finding players that you think you can develop, whether it's in your system, whether your coaching staff can do it. That's the focus. It's a long-term situation. You're investing in players, hoping that there will be a return over the long haul, not an immediate return that's going to help you fix all of your problems. You know, I always see it every year. You get to like the third day of the draft, you get to like the fifth round, and people are talking about how, well, the Jets need to get an edge rusher. Well, the Jets may need an edge rusher, but the guy you draft in the fifth round is probably not going to fix all of your problems. So those are two keys right now. You can't act like you can fix it all entering the draft, and you need to think long term. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Monday, talking about the NFL draft, and I'm offering some thoughts today on how I think the Jets should approach the NFL draft in 2020. And the next point I'm going to make is something that I say probably every year, is I do not want to see the Jets trade up in this draft. And of course, rules are made to be broken. There's always going to be some exception out there. There, you know, some exceptional talent falls and you want to go get him. Sometimes trading up works out, but if you look at the numbers, more often you're better off trading down than you are trading up, because the draft is so inexact. Teams need to give themselves margin for error by adding extra picks, and sometimes even the greatest talent evaluators in the NFL get things wrong. There is no such thing as a sure prospect. The prospect you think is a sure prospect may fail. There have been numerous quote-unquote safe picks in the NFL draft who have been total busts. So with all this in mind, I can't say it's necessarily a terrible idea to trade up under any circumstances, but I'm not a fan of trading up in general. But that's especially true for the Jets based on where they are as a franchise, because you look through this roster and where's the young talent? I mean, there's just not enough young talent on this roster. I mean, heck, the Jets did not have a second round pick in 2018. They did not have a second round pick in 2019. And for a good reason, they did trade up for a quarterback, and that would be the one scenario where I really could never have an issue with trading up. But there's just, if it's left the team with a lack of young talent, which means the Jets need all the picks that they can. They need to get as many quality young players in here as possible. And every time you trade up and you give up a pick, well, that's an opportunity to add a quality young player that your team is missing. And you know, you look at the players who are on rookie contracts. Well, this is going to be really, in many ways, the final year of Jamal Adams' rookie contract, because this is going to be year four in the NFL for him. Now, I know technically the Jets have a fifth-year option on him, but his salary is going to go up in year five. The fifth-year option is a higher salary, especially for a top-10 pick. The top-10 pick, the salary goes way up. So even when we're talking about young talent, my focus is mainly on guys on the rookie contract because they aren't making much money. And the Jets have Jamal Adams, who is a premium young player, but he's about to get a big raise after this season, one way or another. Marcus May, final year of his rookie contract, another quality guy who's been a quality player for the Jets on his rookie deal. You know, Quinnen Williams, you're hoping will step up, but there's already a player the Jets took early last year who's gone, and that's Jakai Polite, who proved to be a mistake. So the point here is that the Jets, you know, the Jets are not one player away. The Jets are not one piece away. They're not adding one young impact player away from being able to make noise in the NFL. They need to add multiple young players, and that means acquiring extra picks. That does not mean trading up just to target one specific player. And with all of this in mind, I think if you're looking where which positions the Jets should target, and as always, I'm not saying that these are the rules, you can never break these rules. I'm saying that unless something exceptional happens, I think this team needs to focus on the premium positions, because the Jets have really not done a good job through the years. And I'm not saying this is a Joe Douglas thing because he just took over, but I'm talking about there have been years of failure to add quality players at premium positions. And I'm talking edge. I mean, an edge rusher right now, I think you're probably looking at Jordan Jenkins and Terrell Basham as your two starters. That's bad. That's not a good situation to be in. At corner, you have Pierre Desir and Bless Austin. That's not where I love to be. It's not, you know, it may not be as bad. I think it's a step up from Trumaine Johnson and Darryl Roberts from a year ago, but it's still, you want to add a higher end talent at the corner position. I think that's, you can make a case that Pierre Desir has been a decent player in the past and Bless Austin has some promise, but I don't want to bet that both of these guys, I don't want that to be my only option. You could make a case that both of those guys will be effective players. There's a case to be made, but I don't want the only way my corner position can pan out is for both of these guys to hit their ceiling next year. And the offensive line, while players have been added, there's a pretty clear lack of young top end talent on the offensive line. And that's nothing to speak of the wide receiver position. So these are the spots that I think the Jets need to focus on if all things are equal. You know, you always make exceptions for exceptional talents, but I think in the early stages of this draft, round one, round two, round three, even maybe round four to some extent, those are the positions that need to be the focus. And if there's a reason you are not picking a player at one of those positions, it needs to be a really good reason. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Monday talking about the 2020 NFL draft. It is Joe Douglas's first with the Jets, and I'm offering the Jets some advice today. Again, not that they're asking for it, but I'm giving you some thoughts on how I think the Jets should approach this draft. And the next piece of advice I would have for the Jets is, going back to premium positions, never feel like you are already set at a position. Always be looking to add, and that, again, that's especially true at the premium positions. And it's not so much of a problem for the Jets because the Jets need to add at those positions anyway. But you can always use an extra corner who can cover. You can always use an extra pass rusher. And you can always use an extra wide receiver for your young quarterback. This should never be a consideration where you're passing on players at this position because you already have enough. And part of that is, again, going back to how the draft is a long-term proposition. Because you may say, well, we don't have a need right now, because we already have this player at wide receiver. Well, that player may not be there in 3 years, and the guy you draft this year may be able to step into that void. But beyond that, look at what the Chiefs have done with Patrick Mahomes. There's lots of reasons Patrick Mahomes has been such a success story in Kansas City. First and foremost is that he's just an incredible talent, but there's also the scheme that they put him in, and there's also the fact that they just keep adding playmakers to help him out, to make his job easier. And you look at the wide receiver position right now for the Jets. Okay, well, Jamison Crowder's a decent slot receiver. Maybe Breshad Perriman can build on his late season success with Tampa. I mean, maybe Vincent Smith can become a player. But I would not have an objection to the Jets drafting multiple receivers this year. I would not even. I've seen some mock drafts suggest the Jets could draft three receivers this year, which is not a bad idea because they would be leaning into the strength of the draft. This is a year where the receiver position is considered exceptionally deep. So would I have an issue with the Jets drafting three receivers, even though at least one of them is probably not going to be a starter this year, arguably two? Well, no, because first of all, some of these guys may not be ready to contribute year one. Second is that you want to have depth in case somebody gets hurt. And third is you just want to give yourself as many options as possible. You know, you want to have guys with different skill sets so you can adjust who gets playing time based on the opponent, based on what skill set helps the most this week. Having too many playmakers is not a problem. And again, part of this goes into leaning into the depth of a draft class. That's a key thing to do. And this year's receivers class is really good. I mean, there are going to be players who typically would be no doubt first round picks fall to the second round this year. I've heard some analysts talk about how even in round five, there are going to be players who will eventually go on to become competent NFL receivers. There's just an incredible supply of receiver this year. So leaning into the strength of the draft makes sense, especially when it's at a position where, again, you can never have too much help. You can never give your... I mean, can you imagine right now with the Jets receiver situation as it is, where you'd ever be in a position where you'd say, well, you know, we just have too many receivers to draft somebody. And that goes back, it goes into my next point, which is don't let replaceable players prevent you from upgrading a spot. And this is something I'm seeing now where people are talking, and it's focused on Jamison Crowder stuff that I'm seeing online, where people are talking about how the Jets should not draft a slot receiver because they have Jamison Crowder. And I'm sorry, like, if there's like a guy who could be an impact slot receiver, a guy with a ton of speed who can be a game breaker, Jamison Crowder is not going to prevent me from drafting that guy. And part of this is because, like, I'm not really that wild about the idea of Jamison Crowder counting $11 million against the cap in 2021. When there could be a young guy drafted this year making a fraction of that and adding more game-breaking ability. I think that those things need to be considerations as well. But this offense is in need of game-breaking talent. So I'm not saying you draft a guy who you think is just going to be an okay slot receiver in the second round. But if there's a guy who could be a game-breaking talent, has a ton of speed, has a ton of playmaking ability, if he's the best guy on the board, of course, I'm not saying you draft a slot receiver no matter what, but if there's a guy with game-breaking speed who fits into the slot, I don't think Jamison Crowder should prevent you from drafting that guy, because Jamison Crowder may not be with the Jets past 2020, and even if he is, you got to make room for game-breaking talent. If a guy can be an upgrade, if a guy can be somebody like that, may not just be a slot receiver, he could be the type of playmaking talent that can help Sam Darnold thrive. And I see this is, again, something that I see frequently, where the Jets have somebody who's okay at the position and people are against drafting somebody who plays the same spot. Well, if you can upgrade a spot, you can upgrade a spot. And a game-breaking talent who happens to play slot is a game-breaking talent. He plays more roles than just being a slot receiver. It's not just, you're not just replacing Jamison Crowder in the slot, you're adding a game-breaking talent. So that's just one example, but I'm sure you could go to other areas. Just don't let guys who are decent players prevent you from drafting somebody if you have them graded as a game-changing talent. And that's something I need to emphasize, is I'm not just saying you draft somebody who's just as good. But if you see somebody who could be far and above even a decent player, don't let that decent player prevent you from drafting him. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source and leave it a good review. Hope you have a good Monday, everybody, and we will be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.